Maeve Louise Stewart is here on a beautiful spring day.
That's right. Yes. Thank you, Pat, and good morning to you. Don't you just love these nice warm days we're having? I do. Summer is so wonderful, especially after having so many months of cold weather. And remember all that snow? Oh, my goodness. What pile out in my backyard was lasting so long. Now it's gone. Green grass. Wonderful. Say, I have a wooded area behind my house, and my grandson Kent put a camera up on the tree looking down on a den of Mr. and Mrs. Fox and their two darling little babies. Oh, they're so cute. And then also included in one of the photos was a deer walking by, stopping, chewing on the foliage. Isn't that wonderful to think about all that of God's beautiful creation? The Lord is so good to us, isn't he? And I love and enjoy nature, don't you? I hope that you will stay tuned and listen to WWIB and my broadcast, and let me bring you some nature stories this summer. I'm looking forward to that, working on them. And I'd better stop and get to my message today, or I'll not finish the beautiful story of Hannah's prayer. What a lesson in prayer. So listen up, and let me give you a little background. I've been in the midst of a series of messages on five godly women that are presented to us in the Old Testament. I've already covered Eve, the wife of Adam, Sarah, the wife of Abraham, Jochebed, the wife of Amram, that was Moses' mother, and today I'd like to finish the messages on the life of Hannah, the wife of Elkanah, and the mother of Samuel, that great prophet that God used to the fullest. And in my last broadcast, Hannah's prayers had been answered, and her womb was opened, and God gave her a precious little baby boy. And so it was time for the family to go to Shiloh to worship and to bring their tithes and offerings. But Hannah asked of her husband if she could stay home and take care of the baby. And so her husband agreed that it was fine. So she stayed home teaching baby Samuel as he was growing. She weaned the baby, and the commentaries say about between age 5 and 6, and she took him to Shiloh and left him there because she was presenting her precious baby to the Lord just as she had promised. And by the way, that baby would stay there and grow up there the rest of his life. She gave back the very gift to the giver of all gifts. And that reminds me of that beautiful verse found over in James 1:17, where it teaches us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So the baby in the first place was the Lord's, wasn't it? And so she gave him back to the Lord. She didn't forget her promise. And now we find Hannah in the tabernacle again. And this time she's no longer bitter. She's no longer fretful, because she is simply rejoicing. And she is praying a beautiful prayer of triumph. You see, the Lord answered her prayer, and she is wanting to praise him and thank him. Isn't it interesting that the heart of prayer is prayer from the heart. Did you get that? Yes. That's the very heart of prayer, is being at the end of ourselves and pouring our heart out to God. And that's what he wants. Even when you feel you have nothing left in you, you're at the end of your rope. And by the way, that's a Missouri saying. You still have the privilege of prayer. And that is enough. That was enough for Hannah, wasn't it? And she had seen before her very eyes God transforming her very trials into triumphs. Are you suffering today and fretting over a problem? I'm sure, as I'm speaking right now, that there are many listeners out there who are troubled today, just like Hannah. Well, let me encourage you to go to Jesus. He wants you to come to him. Come unto me, all ye are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what he says, and that's what he means, and he never breaks a promise. So let me remind you that there is no hopeless situations. It's a case of only people who have lost hope. Think about it. So I want to go directly to Hannah's beautiful prayer, where she actually teaches us how to pray. And by the way, some commentaries tell us that this prayer, this very prayer that I'm going to be reading to you and you'll be listening, that's the forerunner of Mary's prayer, the mother of Jesus, found over in Luke chapter 1. So I've got my Bible open in front of me, and I'm going to be reading the prayer, and then I'll go and give you what she is meaning, what's coming from her heart. I'll break it down so we can learn lessons from this beautiful portion of Scripture. Aren't you glad the Lord included all of these wonderful lives so that we could learn from them? I know I do. Well, it starts out and it says, "And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord." Do you notice she didn't say, "My heart is rejoicing because God gave me a little baby boy and answered my prayer"? No, she certainly didn't start her prayer out that way. She could have, but she didn't. She did it the right way. She said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." And then she goes on to say, "My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies." And she's saying here, no longer am I going to be bothered with Penaniah's taunting me all the time. And you know why? She goes on and says, "Because I rejoice in your salvation." Isn't that precious? Yes. Do you do that today? Are you rejoicing in the fact that the Lord has saved you and that you're bound for heaven no matter what comes up in your life? What a statement here. That one verse is packed with the way that we should pray. Thanking the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord. It's so good, isn't it? Then she goes on to say, "There is none holy as the Lord." So she's acknowledging the greatness of our God. "There is none holy, for there is none beside thee." In other words, he's the one true God. "Neither is there any rock like our God." Oh my goodness. She is putting him right in the spot where the Lord needs to be. And that is, he is the one true God. And there's no one like him. No other God around the world. There's so many worshiping other gods. And then she goes in verse 3 and she says, talk no more so exceeding proud. In other words, don't be so proud. You have nothing to be proud about. And she even takes it further by saying, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. In other words, stop being so proud and be humble before the Lord. And then she gives God the praise again, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Yes, the Lord knows all about what we say, what we do, and even more important, our very thoughts. Think about it. Yes, she is acknowledging how really, truly great the Lord is. And then in verse 5, she says, the bowels of the mighty men are broken. In other words, any knowledge of how great you are, that's all going to be broken down to nothing. And they that stumbled are girded with strength. And isn't that a sweet statement? She's acknowledging the fact that even though she fretted and she stewed and she was beside herself, even though she stumbled, and even though you and I sin, we can be forgiven and girded with God's strength. Isn't that precious? Aren't you glad we have such a forgiving Lord? And then she says, they that were full have hired themselves out for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne 7. Well, she actually bore 5 children, but the term here, according to the commentaries, means 7 or perfection. In other words, she was satisfied with the number of children God had given her. She was even more satisfied and thrilled. And she that hath many children is waxed feeble. In other words, the Lord gave the children. Excuse me. Then she goes on and says, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave, and he bringeth up. And so we might say here, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, God has the right to do whatever he wants. And even to each one of us. Because you know what? As she said up further, we belong to him. And, you know, isn't that good to think about, that we each one belong to him? And then let me look here a little further. It says, the Lord maketh poor, the Lord maketh rich. He bringeth low and he lifts up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill. He sets them among princes, and makes them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. Yes, he's our great creator, and he's in charge of it all. He will keep the feet of his saints. Aren't you glad that he will keep us on the right path? And the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. Isn't that wonderful? He's in charge. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. Yes, he will. He'll judge you and me. And he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointing. That's the end of the prayer. And that word anointed in the Greek means the Messiah. Think about it. Here she is reminding us, and they were looking for the Messiah at that time, and now we're looking back the fact that the Messiah has come and he died on the cross for you and me. What a wonderful example of prayer. I hope it was a blessing to your heart. And remember, when someone asks you to pray, all you have to do is go to this portion of scripture in 1 Samuel, the 2nd chapter, and find the model prayer, and you can learn and be ready to pray whenever you're asked. Isn't that good? Have a wonderful day, okay? Bye-bye.